3rd, Rising with Sky Bar. Barbara is going to be up with me in about 12 minutes or so. I'm going to play some stuff first. This first band is a, back in the day, back in the mid-80s, I was going to see a lot of local bands. One of them was The Unattached. The Unattached did not put a lot of stuff out, but they just released a 1983 show from The Rat. So that's, was psyched to hear that. I'm going to play something off of that. So this is The Unattached. Once again, it's WMFO in Medford. And The Unattached live from The Rat. This was back in 1983.
This song's about something I believe in.
That's a theme for the night, for the band anyway. It's called Early Grave. It goes kind of like this. Thanks again for coming down.
All right, like I said, that was from The Rat, 1983. That was Early Grave by The Unattached. Fantastic band that I used to see a lot. I'm going to play a lot of new stuff now. Three new songs, actually. Play something by Canyons and Locusts. And this release, it either just came out or is coming out. It's called The Red Angel, dedicated to the late Justine Kovalt. I'm going to play something by Ravagers, band I just saw at O'Brien's. And let me get this guy's name right because I just found him. It's Ryan John Clary, and it features Carissa Johnson. It's a bit of a mellow tune, a bit stripped down. So I'm going to play all three of those now, and when we come back, Barbara Walsh will be with us. All right, that ended with a bang. That was Ravages, as I said. They, I think they're from L.A. Not exactly sure, to be honest, with the way they're from, but I think they're from out there. And they were at O'Brien's this past weekend. They had the hair going, like a 70s kind of Motley Crue-style look. They were a great rock and roll band. Before that, Brian John Clary featuring Carissa Johnson with his latest single, Sometime. Canyons and Locusts with Buck Dharma's Eyes. And right now I'm going to bring up Barbara Walsh. How you doing, Barbara?
I'm doing okay.
Thanks. Thanks so much for coming in.
No problem.
And you're departing the country soon.
Departing for the Netherlands, yes.
But when did you first get over here? I'm going way back, just for a minute.
Okay. So I won a green card in the green card lottery back in, I can't remember what, like 25, 20. 29, it'll be 29 years ago in August that I came over. So that would mean I won the card 28 years ago, but I wanted to leave the country 2 days after my 25th birthday because I wanted to get hammered on my 25th birthday. So I did that. And then, I when I was packing my bags, my mother was like, "You don't really want to go, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't." And she said, "Well, then why are you going?" I'm like, "Well, someone wants me to go. I won this green card after all."
Wow.
I said, "And I only need to stay a few years."
When you get over here, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I, 29 years later, I'm still here.
And were you, did you come right to this area? Or did you?
No, I moved down to Long Island first. My father used to work with this English guy that years ago, and he met his wife. He met his wife, who was an air stewardess at the time, Roger Reynolds and Susan Reynolds. At the time, she was Susan Buttonow. So no wonder she decided to switch her name to Reynolds. So they were both living in Southampton. So they offered to take me in. Because our families had stayed in contact over the years. Mm-hmm. And we'd actually come over and visit them when I was 11, I think. And my sister would have been 8 and a half. And it was just... So we spent 2 weeks with them and then 1 week down in Baltimore with other friends of ours that mm-hmm. used to live in Shannon, just a couple of doors down from us in Shannon. And so they offered to take me in, and she had a children's clothing store, and I discovered that I was really good at selling stuff. If I put on a little bit of the accent, you know.
The accent helps.
It does. Yeah. It's kind of lilty.
It's charming.
It's charming.
Yeah, as I go with my act, it's charming.
Charming.
But it and that was, so when did you get to this area, like
so
Boston?
So the year after that, I came up here that October, I think, or sometime late in the year. And I stayed with a friend of mine that I'd been in college with out in his house in Brighton.
Okay.
And I fell in love with Boston straight away because it had great at that time, it was a great public transportation system.
Mm. Things have taken a turn.
Yeah, they really have. So I decided I wanted to live here, and I sent an email home to my family saying, I found where I'm going to live. I really like Boston. I can see myself living here.
And what'd they say?
They were psyched.
They liked it.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And so I imagine like me, or maybe not, we'll see. I imagine prior to selling merch at these various shows that you do now, I imagine initially you were just a fan who liked to go see good local music and went to see bands.
Yeah.
Which is what I did, and before you know it, after quite a while, I ended up on a radio station. But Was that kind of your journey? You just love going to see bands and discover new music?
My first job when I came over here was at the Boston Youth Hostel on Hemingway Street. It's now in Chinatown. But while I was there, I met this guy called Ralph Prash, and he was working for a company in the South End called the Planetary Group. So he said, so I was complaining how I was so bored on my days off, because I had 2 days off a week, and I needed to fill them. So he volunteered me to intern for them, which I did for like a year, not even a year. And then Chris Davies, one of the bosses there, said to me, so I was stuffing bubble mailers full of CDs to send out to the radio stations, because mm-hmm. they were a music promotion company and they did all the C&J stuff. And he said, so Ralph's your boss at the hostel, is he? And I said, no, I'm his boss. I'm the bookkeeper. And once he heard bookkeeper, he was like, oh, right. So, because he did all the books at that time. So he pretty much hired me on the spot.
Cool.
So I left the hostel and started working there. And from there, in those days, Planetary would have all of their staff go to every show that they were promoting. So I got to go, and free, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go to a lot of shows.
A lot of local shows.
A lot of local shows, yes. So when I'd been working at the hostel, I'd met this guy called Bob Tebbs, and he ended up working at Planetary as well. And then his girlfriend was Nicole Johnson, who later became Nicole Anguish.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I met her.
Nicole, for those who don't know, is
a great graphic designer.
Yeah, who does graphic work for pretty much every local band
Julianne Hatfield.
Yeah, she's Nicole Anguish is famous in the local scene.
Yes.
I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
So do you remember, like, do you remember the first band you sold merch for, like the first merch booth table?
That was the Decals.
Okay.
Because I moved around a little mm-hmm. bit, and I ended up sharing an apartment with Robin Erb and Michelle Paulus.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle and Nicole were best friends, and they had just started this band called The Decals, which was Nicole's idea.
Yeah.
And that's
how it started.
That's how it started. And
it really blew up from there.
It really did.
Really grew. To a point where, so how long ago? That was a while ago. Roughly how long ago was that the Decals thing?
20 years ago. Yeah.
And so from there, did you constantly do merch? Because I've known you for roughly, I'm going back to the Watts years, because it's a good way for us to reference.
Watts had just started up again.
2007-ish when they started up again.
Yeah.
And so did you go right into, because I know now you sometimes you might have two merch gigs a week or three. Yeah. Was it always like that, or did it slowly build into?
No.
Right, it took time to.
It took
of course,
time to build up
to that level.
At that time, bands really didn't have any merch.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right. I didn't even think of that, but yeah. Yeah, there weren't a lot of CDs out there. They just played.
And the Decals designed their own T-shirts.
Yeah.
I remember being in the kitchen with Nicole and Michelle and them putting glue and glitter on T-shirts and selling them at shows.
Yeah, it was much more do-it-yourself then, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
We're going to play a bunch of your, and I'm going to ask you a lot more about merch too, but it's an hour show, and I want to play a lot of music. And there's a show at the Lizard this Saturday, right?
Yes, there is.
I'm going to play music by those two bands, but I'll let you tell me about the two bands involved in that show, and then I'm going to play some songs by them.
Okay.
We got
Andrea Gillis.
Yep.
who I know from the first time I met Andrea was at the Abbey Lounge, and it was for the Mikey D benefit shows.
Oh, gosh. And here we are. Yeah. At Mikey D's studios.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where I met Andrea first, and then...
Stars.
Stars like Az.
Well, you already mentioned Michelle.
Yeah, yeah.
Two great bands. And they're both doing, what, two sets, I think. It's just those two.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you're going to get your fill of these two bands on that night. I'll definitely be there. Yeah. I'm going to play a couple songs, then we're going to get back and talk a bit more about merch and some of your personal favorites. But right now, this is Stars Like Oz.
Stars Like Oz.
Here we go.
Even though there's time in my too much. At the end of the day, I wanna hang with the bunch. Do what the ladies do, the ladies who lunch.
All right, that was Andrea Gillis. Fantastic Andrea Gillis with About a Girl, Stars Like Ours with a Call Out. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. Public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. That was quick. All right, Barbara. So we would talk a few things about merch that I was curious about.
Okay.
What is... Do you have a merch pet peeve when people do something you're like, why? You probably have a bunch of them. Right? Like, why are they doing this or that? So, go ahead.
The worst is, and I'm sorry, ladies, but.
You can say it.
Yeah.
No one, you're leaving soon.
I know. But the worst is the women that want you to guide them in their merch purchases.
Like, how's it look? How does it look?
Does this make me look fat?
Really? They go there?
At one point I remember one night I was selling merch for Letters to Cleo, and we had this big $5 bin of t-shirts, and this woman came up, and I was busy helping, because it was only me at the counter at the time, and so she was just... So do you have this in a... And they're all mixed in together. That's why it's $5.
Right.
So you have to find your own size. But she was like, do you have this in a medium? And I'm like, I don't know.
Dig in.
Yeah. And then I turned around and I was like...
Hey. Well, merch is a tough gig.
It really is.
Because you're in clubs where it's loud.
It's loud, yeah.
And so I imagine you're trying to communicate with people, and it's tough as it is. Never mind having a ton of back and forth questions.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's what I love about my favorite customers are the ones that know what they want and they give you the exact change. The ones that's...
Another peep. Go ahead.
The ones that blow our... That if they give me a $50 bill for a $5 t-shirt.
That's horrible.
It really is. And I'm like looking at them going, really? Do you have anything smaller?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So one time during the Rumble, I just remembered these little... these three teenage girls, I don't know how old they were, but they were young. They were very, very young. But they came in and they were like, so we really want, can you advise us on, and I think it was, they were buying, I can't even remember the band's name now, but they didn't win. They won their night, but they won their first night. But I couldn't find any of their merch the first night. And I said it to them, I was like, when they came down from playing, I said, I couldn't find any of your merch. Where is it? And they're like, oh, it's under here. And I was like, you need to put it out
for me
so I can sell it for you. So these three girls were like hemming and hawing and they be with an itch. They were being be with itches.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, and then they were trying to give me, their t-shirts were only $10 each.
Yeah.
And they only wanted, I think, two. And they handed me a $50 bill. And I'm like, I can't change this.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, okay. And so then they went to, I think my father might have it.
Yeah.
So they went to their father and he gave it.
Tough gig. It's a tough gig.
It really is. You have to be on your best at all times. And I'm a generally happy person.
Yeah. Yeah.
But alcohol definitely helps.
Let's flip it. What do you love the most about doing merch?
Oh my God. Just meeting new people. Yeah. I love meeting new people. And people who like the bands that I love.
Right. Because you sell merch. You generally like, not always, but generally you probably like the bands that you sell the merch for.
I have to like the bands.
And a lot of times it's new. There might be new fans, and you must be psyched that
really
wow, they discovered bands that I like too.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah. We're gonna play five or six. We're gonna see what the clock tells me, but at least five.
Yeah.
Anytime you ask people to compile a list, I'm sure the list could have been 15 deep.
Yeah.
Because I said to Barbara, I said, give me five or six of your, some of your favorite local bands, and if I have them, and we have a lot of common taste, so I didn't think that would be a big deal, and it wasn't. So I said, yeah, and we'll play some songs by them. So the first, I'm going to let you talk a minute about these bands, but the first bands I'm going to play are The Dents and The Decals and Gene Dante, and not in any special order. I just randomly did that, so...
Yep.
I don't know if you want to talk about The Dents, Decals, and Gene Dante. And I'm going to play a song. She doesn't know which... Oh, no, you do know the songs.
Yeah.
You picked them. All right, go ahead.
So this is the... who's up first?
We're going Dents, okay. Decals,
Dents,
Gene.
Dents, Decals. So The Dents is Better Off. And I think this is a Michelle Paula song. I could be wrong in that. But she wrote it about one of her boyfriends.
You can figure that. Yeah. Larry.
Yeah. And
Decals.
The Decals is If I Ever, and it's Nicole wrote it about a guy she was dating, Bob Tebs, who now lives in Vietnam.
Oh.
So there's no chance of him hearing this.
Oh.
She wrote it about him, and he didn't even know it was about him.
Wow.
Because he was that.
Yeah. Good. See that? We're getting all kinds of info about these songs you didn't even know. And Gene, the great Gene Dante.
Gene Dante.
High Time.
What a great guy. Oh, my God.
What a performer.
He is such a performer, and I was lucky enough to be business partners with him.
Oh, I didn't know that. I know you two are like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And every week we go out for coffee and discuss the prior gig that he did. But I wanted him, I saw the t-shirts that he was selling, and they were really shoddy. And I was like, gee,
you gotta step up your game.
So much more if you had decent.
Yeah. Stepped it up a little bit.
Yeah, so I advised him on what to get.
Good enough.
Yep.
I'm gonna play those three, and we'll be back and chat some more.
Okay.
All great selections. I like all these bands. Got to see all these bands, play music by all these bands. Here are The Dents.
Been tested, put around, made it feel like a band ground down. Acts that look Gaslights. It's all my fault. I'm sunshine to your right.
That was Gene Dante with High Time. Before that, the Decals, If I Ever See You Again. And I forgot to log that the one. Dents. The Dents with Better Off.
Yeah. So actually, Jen Dangora wrote that song.
Yes.
About we one of her exes.
We were mistaken, but
yes,
we...
I was mistaken, not you. You, if you were in my shoes, you would not have made that mistake.
All right. See, it's 8:48. The hour does fly, though, doesn't it?
It really does.
So, like, we just get going, and we got a couple more songs that we're going to get to.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't know. I guess, is there going to be a merch replacement? Who's going to do the merch?
You know,
they're just going to have to find their way. They will.
I think I'm going to have to clone myself.
Are people, like, mad at you?
Yeah.
Like, why are you leaving?
Why are you leaving? Who's going to sell our merch now? People who never had merch before are saying to me, who is going to sell our merch now?
You got to do what you got to do, though.
I
the
know.
Move is the best for you, and that's what you
really
got to do. And everybody here.
By the way, I'm moving to... Did we say I'm moving to the Netherlands?
No, we didn't exactly...
Okay, yeah. So,
say specifically,
The Netherlands apparently is the most handicap-friendly country in the world.
And that fits, because we don't have time...
Time to go into it. But,
you're dealing with some of that, and so, it makes sense.
Plus Trump.
I get it 100%.
Yeah.
And, so... And kudos to you for your remarkable comeback, too.
Yeah.
You know, you've overcome a lot.
Diana's broke.
Right? Serious? You came back from some serious... We can't swear. You come back from some serious stuff.
I did.
And so...
With a sense of humor as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean,
that
if
never
you can't laugh.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the same... I've had issues as well,
yes.
as you're aware of. And then what are you going to do? You are...
Yeah.
So I'm going to play two more bands. The bands are Watts, who we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
And Justine.
I just love Watts.
Yeah. This is, and I think John has lead on this song.
Yes, he does.
This one we'll get right. And the late Justine Kovalt with Justine and the Unclean.
God. So Justine is one of the reasons why I'm so big in the merch business. She really helped me a lot. And I wanted to dedicate this song to Tom Baker. Tom Baker and
Jay Allen were
Jay
her
Allen.
Two closest, obviously Tom and Jay too, though they were lifelong friends, and her and Tom were together at the end, and so So we're going to play the Watts tune. We're going to play Justine and the Unclean.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a couple minutes left to, I guess, button it up.
Yeah.
Here's Watts.
She don't think
All right, Justine and the Unclean, Scorpion Bowl to go. And that came out on her last release. And she was on my show, well, 2 weeks before she passed, with Janet actually talking about the CD, and it was an exciting time. And she had so much ahead of her, but that was the signal light is what it came out on. Before that, again, I didn't log it. What did we? Oh, Watts. She Wants to Rock.
She Wants to Rock.
Great, great band. All these bands that you chose were great bands. And thanks so much for coming in. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to leave to the masses before you depart from the station. We'll see. Get out Saturday night, Friday, and give it some Friday too.
Friday night, I'm going to 2 shows. I'll be at the Burren for Chelsea Curve, and then I'm running over to the Lizard Lounge for Abby Barrett. And then on Saturday, I'll be selling merch for Stas Like Az, and for the Stas Like Az and Andrea Gillis show.
I'll be there. All right, Barbara, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I found a song that fits in at the 3-minute mark. It's not a local song, but at this point in the show, you're just finding things that fit.
Yes.
Once
it's
again.
It's all about fitting in.
Exactly. WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bob. We'll see you next week. I think this band's called Split System. Thanks for listening.